afternoon, and welcome to Open Air, KLW's weekly magazine of most things culturally considered here in the Bay Area and the performing arts. I'm David LaTulipe, your host. A little bit of a different take on a theme song for Open Air this week. That's from the Dupuy Brothers Band, When It's Christmas Time, and a different take on Vince Guaraldi and Linus and Lucy. Appropriately a holiday tune for this sleigh bell edition of Open Air, jam-packed with all kinds of interesting choral offerings. From the San Francisco Choral Artists, from the Golden Gate Men's Chorus, we'll also hear about the California Revels. And then later we'll be talking with Rita Moreno about her narration of Peter and the Wolf with the San Francisco Symphony. And Peter Robinson will be on hand to offer his six best picks for books of the year. So stay with us here on KALW. Excerpt from this year's California Revels, Cold, Rain, and Snow. Part of the 29th annual Christmas Revels, entitled An American Journey, that takes place at the Scottish Rite Theater on Lake Merritt in Oakland. This weekend and through the 21st, a total of 10 performances. Information at californiarevels.org. Here to talk about the Revels this year is David Parr, artistic director, who has been an active theater professional in the San Francisco Bay Area for the past 30 years and joined the staff of the California Revels as resident director back in 1990 and was appointed artistic director in 2005. David has directed the Revels in Oakland for some 24 years, as well as the Revels in Tacoma, and it's a pleasure to welcome him back to the airwaves of Open Air and KLW to talk about this year's. Hi, David.
Very nice to be here.
He's joined by Sylvia Harold, a remarkable singer-guitarist who has been performing with all sorts of interesting groups, currently performing with Wake the Dead, a band that melds traditional Celtic music with songs of the Grateful Dead, the Pop Top Trio, a jazz-pop vocal-oriented ensemble, and Euphonia, which we'll hear shortly, a folk quartet that blends old and new world songs and tunes from America, the British Isles, and beyond. She's been a guest on Folk Music and Beyond a few times with Joanne Marr. It's a pleasure to welcome her to the Thursday side of the microphone.
Thanks, David. Hi.
Great to have you here. So let's start with the theme around the Revels. Every year there's a different sort of story, yet there's some recurring elements. David, maybe take that on?
Well, that's true. For the Revels audience, there's a certain recognizable quality to Revels. It becomes virtually a ritual for them to come and see our show every year and take part in our show every year. And we do travel from place to place, time to time. We're interested in observing the ways that people in different times, different cultures, honor the turning of the year, the winter solstice. And so our official full title is the Christmas Revels, a celebration of the winter solstice. And that's really what we're all about.
Very nice. And how many times have you been involved with the revels themselves, Sylvia?
This is my very first time.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful experience.
If you could just a little bit more about the history of the revels and how it all got started back in 1990 when you got involved. What was going on before then?
It was going on in California for about 4 years before then. Lisbee Mayer, a true force of nature, brought it to California, but it preexisted that. It was founded by a man named John Langstaff, a wonderful concert baritone who was quite interested in the folk roots of the kind of music that he was found himself singing. And so he started revels as a way of kind of sharing his deeper feelings about the season with his friends. And it was performed in New York, I believe, in 1952. It was the very, very first performance. And then he brought it to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where it's been flourishing for many years, since the early 70s. And we now perform in about 10 different cities around the country. There are Christmas revels.
Neat. Well, if you could tell us a little bit more about what this year's theme is specifically.
Well, as I said, we're peripatetic. We go to different countries and different times, and this year it's America's turn. We decided to come to the U.S., and we haven't been here for a while. Our last American theme show was 1993. We did an Appalachian theme show in that year. And so I thought it was time to visit our country again. And I was also very interested in what we think of as our folk tradition, because there's a tendency, I think, to think that anything folk or traditional has to be very old-timey and somewhat remote from our current experience. And that isn't so true. We really, you know, folk for us can be stuff from the mid-20th century, really. And so we decided to locate our show in the 1930s in the U.S., And it was a very significant time in terms of awareness of the American folk tradition, because by virtue of radio and the widespread availability of 78 RPM records, little enclaves of American traditional music that had been pretty much invisible to the mainstream suddenly became visible. People were being recorded that had never been recorded before. And so the roots of the American country music phenomenon and what later led into rock and roll really began to surface in the 1930s.
So the revels always has a very, it's not just a random gathering of tunes. You've got a real historical basis to everything that's going on there.
Yeah, we do. And in the case of this American show, we had to be even more careful. We can get away with a certain amount of slack when we're doing a Bulgarian revels or you know, something where the audience isn't that familiar with the language or the customs. We can do kind of a panorama of customs and put together things that a native of that country might find surprising. When we're dealing with American culture, we have to be a little more aware of the audience's experience and awareness of the culture that we're dealing with.
So, Sylvia Harold, you mentioned that this is the first time with the revels. How did Euphonia get involved with the revels this year?
How did that happen, David?
I knew we had to do a show, and I knew it was going to be an American show. And I have a tendency to just grab for the very best people I can think of, whether I think they're going to say yes or not. So I picked up the phone and called Sylvia and said, we'd love to have you come and do this show. And to my eternal pleasure, she said yes.
Well, and likewise. And I had been to a show one time and experienced it from the audience side. And so I kind of had a little sense, but I was really delighted to be asked and excited and very excited to be part of a theatrical production such as this.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about your band, Euphonia.
Yeah, it's a dance band sort of collided with a vocal band. So everybody in that little combo has done a lot of contra dances, square dances, played a lot of dance music, which suits the show very well. And then we've made a couple of records really featuring my singing, and the material that we focus on tends to be traditional English, or more recently we've really pretty much been doing a lot of American stuff. And also a singer-songwriter, Gillian Welch, and whatever. We have far-flung tastes, so it's all vocals and instruments. We've got mandolin and bass guitar, and sometimes accordion.
Mm-hmm. David Parr, are there more instrumentalists involved, or how, in addition to the euphonia, you've got choir and dancers? How are you? Are these people that recur every year? Are they new recruits?
A combination of the two. We have a number of repeat offenders appearing on the stage. We have Kevin Carr, who, along with Sylvia, is also a member of Wake the Dead. And he's both acting, storytelling, and playing many of the multitude of instruments that he plays. Shira Kamen, one of our resident music directors, will be doing quite a bit of fiddling in the show. And we have our various echelons of choruses. We have an adult chorus of about 40 members, and they sing and dance. We have a children's chorus, 15 of those, and they perform their own repertoire of material. And we have what we call our young performers, who are young adolescents who do everything in the show. They perform songs, dances, and also do puppetry and things like that as well.
Sounds like a great evening of afternoon and evening of performances. Performances are December 12th, 13th, and 14th, as well as the 19th, 20th, and 21st. Information at californiarevels.org. David Parr, thanks for taking a little bit of time to talk about the Revels this year.
My pleasure.
And we're going to go out with some music of the wonderful group Euphonia. Let's hear a track that you so kindly brought along. And maybe set it up for us.
Okay. Well, this is a Stephen Foster song, and it's called Angeline the Baker. And, well, there's a tune by that name as well, but this is the song that Stephen wrote, and let's just leave it at that.
All right. Here is Euphonia, part of the California Revels. Information at californiarevels.org. Sylvia, thanks for coming in as well.
Away down on the old plantation, that's where I was born. I used to beat the whole creation, hoeing in the corn. But when I worked well, then I sang, I was happy all the day. Till Angeline the Baker came, stole my heart away.
Angeline the Baker, Angeline the Baker's gone. She left me here to weep a tear and be on the old jawbone. Angeline the Baker, Angeline the Baker's gone.
Angeline the Baker, part of the California Revels this year. Euphonia heard in that little track. You'll hear the California Revels this weekend and next weekend. Information at californiarevels.org. Good afternoon again. David LaTulipe with you, a sort of sleigh bell and a little bit of jazz and country and a little bit of all of the above today, celebrating the holidays and upcoming many performances of the Bay Area's rich supply of choral groups and holiday music that's coming along. Still to come, we'll hear from the Golden Gate Men's Chorus. I'll be talking with Rita Moreno by phone from Berkeley, who will be narrating Peter and the Wolf, a holiday tradition here with the San Francisco Symphony. And Peter Robinson will be by to share his 6 best books of the year. A little bit more traditional now as we turn to the San Francisco choral artists.
Thank you.
An excerpt from In the Bleak Midwinter, the San Francisco Choral Artists' rendition of that from a beautiful CD called So Gracious Is the Time, An American Christmas. Here to talk about this weekend's offerings and next week's offerings of the San Francisco Choral Artists is its artistic director since 1995, Megan Solomon. A pleasure to welcome Megan back to talk about this year's Choral Artists concerts called Postcards from Abroad, I'll Not Be Home for Christmas. Hi, Megan. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about that title. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's appropriate because so many people do travel for Christmas or decide not to travel for
exactly.
Christmas.
Exactly. And given the weather, perhaps this year fewer than usual, we decided that it would be nice to have a chance to explore some of the Christmas traditions from around the world and thought, you know, with the play on the old pop song, that it would be nice to sort of see what it would be like to have Christmas in different places. So we have done that. We travel around the world in this program.
Indeed. We opened with that beautiful carol, In the Bleak Midwinter. I selected that because I think that is one of the most gorgeous writing I've ever heard. But that's a beautiful arrangement, too. Can you tell us a little bit about the arrangement there?
It's Randolph Curry. He taught in a university in, I believe it's Ohio, for many, many years and has written some wonderful choral music. It's one of our favorites, and we've done it many times.
Thanks for sharing that. So talk a little bit more about the places you'll be traveling to, Postcards from Abroad, in this year's concerts.
I'm happy to do so. We're starting at home, and we're traveling across to England and then Latvia, Norway, Germany. We'll be doing some Brahms, his wonderful O Heiland, reich die Himmel auf, one of his greatest motets, some Poulenc. Then we're going further east with Stravinsky. We'll do a folk Georgian Christmas piece. And then finish the first half with a world premiere by Wayne Eastwood, who is our composer not in residence for this year, called A Russian Christmas Card. Very interesting Brodsky poem which he has set. And then after intermission, we go to Africa and Asia. We do a Kenyan piece, an Indic piece, then to Armenia, then to China and Korea. And then back across the Pacific, we'll make a stop in New Zealand with a beautiful David Child, Salve Regina, and then another world premiere by Daniel Afonso, who is our composer in residence in Brazilian Portuguese, A Nossa Lapinha, which is about the ceremony that they have after Christmas when they take out all the animals and the little figures from the creche, and they burn the creche as a kind of sign that a portion of the year is over. And this is actually a kind of a lament that you're going and seeing this beautiful creche be burned and you know that the year is starting.
Sort of a cremation of crypt, so to speak. All right.
That's right. And then we finally go to Peru and then back home and finish with a wonderful African-American spiritual.
Wow. I mean, who's getting all the frequent flyer miles for this concert?
What a great idea.
Is United your sponsor for the concert?
What a fabulous idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Maybe for next year's concert. Now, you mentioned that Daniel Afonso is composer in residence. How did that relationship start?
He and I have been friends for many, many years. I can't even remember how far back, but it's probably decades. When he first came to California, I did one of his wonderful pieces and emailed him and said, you know, we're doing this, and how is our Brazilian Portuguese? And he wrote back, and we've been friends ever since. We see each other not frequently enough. He lives out in the Central Valley, teaches at CSU Stanislaus. But we were thrilled to have the opportunity to really bring a kind of Brazilian voice into some of the things that we do. And we have been working very hard on our language, so we hope that the Brazilian members of the audience will approve of our pronunciation.
All right, let's hope for that. So these concerts are in three different venues, St. Mark's Lutheran Church here in San Francisco on Saturday the 13th, this Saturday. This Sunday you jump over to Oakland for St. Paul's Episcopal Church, and then on the 20th you're back to Palo Alto at St. Mark's Episcopal Church on Colorado Avenue. Do you find jumping to these different venues a challenge, or have you gotten used to the different...
It's both a challenge and something we've gotten used to. We have been singing in these various locations for many years, and we love them. They each have wonderful things about them, and they each have their challenges. But it's nice to be able to bring the music a little closer to the people, and as someone who goes across the bridge a lot and up and down the peninsula, I'm very happy if I can go down the block to hear a concert rather than having to fight the bridge traffic.
Indeed. So these concerts, information about everything, all the world travels that would be taking place on the program are at sfca.org, as well as ticket information. So what's next? The holiday concerts are always a big deal for you guys. What's happening after this for you?
In March, we're going on to Wisdom, Wit, and Wonder. So we'll be doing pieces that look at some of the texts from religious figures, from poets, from philosophers, and exploring some of those ideas. And then in June, we introduce our brand new project called SFCA Plus One. This is our 30th anniversary, which we are very proud of.
Congratulations.
And this new project will be a way of increasing the repertoire and combining chamber choir music with one instrument. In this case, we're very pleased that our guest SFCA Plus One artist will be Mads Tolling, a brilliant Danish violinist.
I know Mads. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, yeah, it's terrific. And he will be doing both classical pieces that are written for choir and violin. We'll be doing some pieces where he will be improvising over what we do. We're hoping to do, you know, a Danish carol with his improvisation, maybe some Renaissance music with improvisation. And then we'll also have some brand new pieces written specifically for this combination.
Fantastic. You guys have such a wonderful commitment to increasing the repertoire that way with these new composers. This Daniel Alfonso piece coming up, as well as Wayne Eastwood's on these programs. And you also seem to have a little different take on some traditional carols, which we're going to go out with. You have a tell us about this arrangement that you found of Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls. This is by Jim McKelvey. It's one of my absolute favorite pieces. It's we all know the tune. What he did was he set it instead of in a square four, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly, Falla, which we're all used to. He put it in 7/8, so it has a real kick to it.
Very nice. Here is the San Francisco choral artists, Megan Solomon. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful concerts at sfca.org for more information. San Francisco choral artists, Megan Solomon, artistic director. Information about their concerts at fca.org. The choral music for the holiday season continues now here on this week's edition of Open Air with music from the Golden Gate Men's Chorus. Touch of a Hunting Song by Robert Schumann. Schumann, a Jagdlieder performed by the Golden Gate Men's Chorus from their special 30th anniversary CD. Well, they've got concerts called Silver and Gold coming up with motets by great choral masters, anthems by modern composers, as well as some holiday favorites and a sing-along. That's also this weekend at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church. I'm talking now with Joseph Piazza, the music director who's been with us before. Joe, welcome back to Open Air.
Hi.
Also joined by Giacomo DeGrigoli, who's a GGMC board member and a Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur. Well, how'd you get involved with the chorus here, Giacomo?
Yeah, thanks for having us. I've actually been a member since I moved to San Francisco in 2001.
Mm-hmm. And so 2001, that's a lot of chorus stuff.
15 years of history.
Nice. And Joe, you've been a director of the chorus since 2010. How have you shaped the chorus in your own way?
Oh, well, coming to GGMC, you come to a group of singers who are dedicated to great choral music. They're very serious about choral music and singing, and they have a dedication to the literature of malchoral ensemble. So my area of interest, of course, is that wonderful, great vocal production that a male chorus can make, and being able to work with GGMC, we can explore the male alto range, the soprano range. In 1998, Joe Jennings was the former director of the Golden Gate Men's Chorus, and of course, Joe, known for his work with Chanticleer, that became very much a part of the tradition that GGMC would take and run with, and so being able to come on board and work with that and enhance that opens up a whole area of expanded literature and beautiful choral music from the Renaissance especially. And then, of course, we bring that into modern music. I have a great interest in vocal jazz, and so to be able to use male countertenor on vocal jazz pieces is very exciting. On this concert that you'll hear this weekend, one of the pieces that we'll be performing is an arrangement of Silent Night by Ivo Antonini. He's a Swiss composer, and he explores many of those jazz harmonies. It's quite beautiful, lush, and exciting.
We also have a commitment, like our previous guests, of cultivating local talent and local composers. I understand you had a piece written for you by David Conte.
Correct. We worked with David. When I first came to GGMC in 2010, it was the 30th anniversary of the chorus, and to celebrate that anniversary, we commissioned David. I'd known David since 1996, actually. He's a very good friend of mine, a very talented composer. And so we hired him, and David chose a wonderful text for us, the Everyone Sang by Siegfried Sassoon, who was a British soldier from World War I. And his poetry writes about the end of World War I, and he set that for us.
Let's have a listen to that, and then more with Joseph Piazza and Giacomo DeGrigoli. This is David Conte's Everyone Sang, a work commissioned by and performed by the Golden Gate Men's Chorus.
Oh,
Music of David Conte, Everyone Sang, sung by the Golden Gate Men's Chorus, Joe Piazza and Giacomo De Grigoli. Here to share information about this year's offerings at the Golden Gate Men's Chorus coming up this weekend, entitled Silver and Gold. But before we get to this year's offerings, Joe, I'd like you to talk a little bit about what you just got back. This is going to be the first time that we get a chance to hear GGMC since returning from Riga, where you guys were at the World Choir Games. Just
right.
Talk to us a little bit about that experience.
World Choir Games. It is this amazing experience, David. If you can imagine, 486 choirs from 72 countries. There were over 15,000 people in attendance. You have to envision the Olympics. It's truly the Olympics of choral music. It's a two-week festival. And there are opening ceremonies where choirs walk in under the flag of their country. You parade into an amphitheater, which seats about 30,000 to accommodate all the singers and the spectators. And it's just 2 weeks of competition in many different categories. There's a male choir division, a female. There's sacred music. There's barbershop music. There's folklore. There is any kind of choral music you can imagine is there. By countries, you know, as far away as Indonesia, we heard groups from China. We heard this amazing choir from South Africa called Stellenbosch University.
Amazing. Yeah, really great group. Yeah, in our 30-year history, too, I mean, we were so thrilled. As a board, we began the planning for this trip and the competition about 2 years ago. And it was the first time that in the group's history we had set foot and said, you know, we're gonna take the music that we're making here in the Bay Area and the sort of folks that we've discovered here, and we want to sort of take that abroad. And we want to just sort of learn from other groups and be able to share what we've done and sort of be proud of what we've done as well.
And there's also the aspect, when you're competing, the bar is raised for yourself. I mean, you're truly competing with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You know you're going to be standing in front of a panel of seven judges, seven choral professionals
who are from around the world.
They have a score in their hand, a tuning fork, a metronome. They are looking at every move you make. And I was not joking at all, really, about the Olympics, because, like the skating judges, there are seven judges. They throw out the high score, they throw out the low, and, you know.
And a two from the Russian.
Right, yeah, exactly, right, yeah.
So is that perhaps why you chose as a theme for this holiday concert, silver and gold,
that
or
is,
not?
Indeed. That is precisely why we're very proud of the fact that we came home with two gold and a silver medals.
Fantastic.
And so thus, yeah, silver and gold. It'll be in the sing-along. I hope everybody knows the words.
Very nice. Well, these concerts are the 11th at 8, the 13th at 3, 14th doubleheader at 3 and 7, and Tuesday the 16th, a finale at 8 o'clock at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church here in 16th Street in San Francisco.
Tonight is opening night.
All right. Best wishes for some fantastic concerts. Just a brief moment, if you would, Giacomo, about the video you're producing.
Oh, that's right. So as part of the process as well, you know, we were kind of shaking in our boots, not knowing and what was going to happen. And as a filmmaker, I thought, boy, it'd be really interesting for us not just to sort of have this experience, but to be able to catalog it and share it again with others. And so we've been working on a short documentary film of our experience called The Road to Riga. And we've put up a little teaser on our website as well that we're sharing. And we were really surprised by the experience, and we just sort of wanted to be able to document that and share with the future. Tons of surprises for us. I think we were not quite sure how we'd be received as an American choir, just sort of traveling abroad and sort of just measure ourselves against this this yardstick of international competition. So we're really excited to get that out there and hope to get it into Frameline and a couple of local Bay Area film festivals.
Great. Again, a little teaser at the website GGMC, where you can also get tickets and information for the silver and gold offerings of the Golden Gate Men's Chorus. Gentlemen, thanks so much for taking some time today.
Thank you. We are
going to go back to a track from the 30th anniversary CD you guys have out. On a holiday note, More I Cannot Wish You.
This day.
I Cannot Wish You. From the Golden Gate Men's Chorus 30th Anniversary CD, produced and directed by music director Joseph Piazza. Their concerts information at ggmc.org this weekend and concluding starting tonight at 8 o'clock at the St. Matthew's Lutheran Church on Dolores Street here in San Francisco. ggmc.org. Good afternoon. David LaTulipe with this semi-sleigh bell edition of Open Air on KALW Local Public Radio. Still to come, Peter Robinson will be offering his six picks for books of the year. And next, I'm going to be talking with some true Hollywood Broadway royalty. Rita Moreno is narrating Peter and the Wolf with the San Francisco Youth Symphony Orchestra, directed by Donata Cabrera. It's sort of a holiday tradition. They'll be doing some holiday favorites and a sing-along along with Peter and the Wolf. The Puerto Rican-born Moreno is one of the original triple threat performers, excelling at acting, singing, and dancing. Her formidable talents have been recognized at every level of the industry. She's one of the very few people to win all four major entertainment awards, an Oscar for West Side Story, a Tony for The Ritz, an Emmy for The Rockford Files, and a Grammy for The Electric Company. Rita Moreno is joining me by phone from Berkeley, where she's got some preparations for quite a birthday celebration coming up. Rita, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm excellent. You know, we talked briefly at the West Side Story release party. We were talking a little bit about your role in that fantastic historical release back in the day, shall we say.
Yeah, I know. That movie is now, 50 years old, 51 years old? And it's still alive. Turner Classic Movies shows it all the time, and some theater in the U.S. is always showing it. So it's pretty nice. What a legacy!
Yeah. Well, speaking of still alive and still thriving, you are not slowing down at all, are you?
Not in the least. I'm making an album right now. I'm in the process of making an album at the age of 83. I'm going to be 83 next. Actually, today's my birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, December 11th, 1931.
Hokey smokes. Happy birthday, Rita.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm making an album with Emilio Estefan, and Sony's going to put it out, and I am one happy camper.
That's nice.
I mean, at 83, that's pretty damn good.
I should say so. My gosh. And you're in Berkeley now preparing for a bit of a birthday celebration, I understand.
I'm having what you would call a bash. It's my daughter and I designed the invitations, which we emailed, and they are really charming because it's going to be it says Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald invite you to celebrate Rita's 83rd, and it's all 20s costumes.
Very nice.
It's going to be really nice. I'm flying in my pianist, my wonderful accompanist from New York. Paula West is coming, and she's going to sing a song. I'll probably sing a song. I'm having a barbershop quartet called On Tap. It's going to be great, great fun.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I just talked with Burt Bacharach last week, who's at the San Francisco Symphony tonight as well as last night.
He's, now, how old is Burt?
He's 86. I mean, you guys are...
He's a child.
You guys are real role models for me at the humble age of 52. I think I've got a few more years ahead of me, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you're just a kid.
So beyond this other recording project, you must have things on your calendar as well.
There's a movie coming out right now called Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks with Jenna Rollins and Cheyenne Jackson.
Great.
And there's a movie, a Hallmark movie that I imagine is going to be out pretty soon, and that's called Small Miracles. So you can say that I'm a working actress.
I should say so. Rita Moreno, we wish you a wonderful narration coming. You've done
Peter... Oh, that's going to be so much fun. I did it about 4 years ago or so, and I loved it. I love doing things for children anyway. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, you probably don't know this, that narration does not have an ending. The wolf swallows the duck, and that's it. And I remember last time I said, oh, I don't like that. So I invented a way for the little duck to get out of the wolf's body and all that. So I'm going to do that this time, too.
I think that's kind of common to do some sort of alternative endings.
Yeah, exactly, because it just ends so abruptly.
It's like you don't want to hear about the Cinderella story where the Cinderella sisters cut off their toes either, you know?
Exactly. So we're doing two shows this coming Sunday. I do hope that people will come see it. I know there's rain, but there's also entertainment for young children. This is really for youngsters. And I hope they'll bring their babies, their child, their children.
Rita Moreno, thanks for taking a little bit of time, and I wish you, wonderful
Thank
success.
Thank you for asking.
And
bye-bye.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Rita Moreno will be narrating Peter and the Wolf, Prokofiev. Concerts are at this coming Sunday, December 14th at Davies Symphony Hall, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Donata Cabrera conducting the San Francisco Symphony Youth Orchestra. Peter and the Wolf, along with some other holiday favorites, and a sing-along. Again, this Sunday at 1 and 4. Information at sfsymphony.org. Weather indeed here in the Bay Area, which is in fact preventing a studio regular guest, our man about town, Peter Robinson, who joins us now by phone from Marin with perhaps a weather forecast to start off with, and then his six books of the year. Hey, Peter, welcome on the phone here. Well, we're going to try again to hook up with Peter from the rains of Marin. Peter, I had some wonderful music to introduce you earlier, stormy weather, but we lost you in the weather and the storm. How are you out there in Marin?
I'm doing good, and I know you mentioned Bacharach early on, so I'm going to say that raindrops keep falling on my head, but nothing bothers me.
Well, let's see. How is the weather out in Marin right now? It's still stormy out here.
Well, the bay is calm. When I look out across the bay, the light is still flashing over Alcatraz, the fog and the mist is beginning to lift. But as you say, with stormy weather, it's a great time to curl up with a book. And what I've lined up are six choices for the year. There is indeed something for everybody.
Well, let's get right in.
So the first is a collection of short stories by Alice Munro. And then we move into a biography by Ben McIntyre, A Spy Among Friends, The Story of Kim Philby. And then we have a short but simple book of philosophy called Breakfast with Socrates. And then we move on to an interesting history book. It's the history of the Ritz Hotel in Paris, called Hotel on the Place de Vendôme. And we finally finish up with the new collection, or his last collection, of Seamus Heaney poetry. So there's fiction, biography, history, philosophy, and poetry.
Well, we lost some time there earlier, so we're going to have to pick and choose out of these six what you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'd certainly recommend Alice Munro. It's called Lying Under the Apple Tree, and it's a collection of her short stories from 1998 to 2009. It's a great introduction for people who aren't familiar with her works. And one story I much liked is called Chance, a really brief encounter story of a meeting on a train. The Ben McIntyre, A Spy Among Friends, the story of Kim Philby, one of the most famous double agents, worked for the Russians as a mole for British intelligence, and finally defected in the mid-60s from Beirut to Odessa. And the epilogue includes a piece by John le Carré. So if you're looking for insight on the Cold War, the strange world of spying, and the world of Kim Philby, highly recommended, A Spy Among Friends. My history book of the year is called Hotel on the Place de Vendôme, and it's by Tyler Mazzaro. It's a story of the Ritz in Paris from the late 19th century through to today, and it's more than just a history of the hotel, because the people who stayed there included during the war years Goring, of course Ernest Hemingway, Robert Capa. It was indeed the hotel that Princess Di left on that fateful journey before the car crash in the tunnel. But it also combines the story of France throughout the 20th century and very much gives you insights into the social and political life, and above all the gossip who Coco Chanel slept with on different occasions throughout the war years, just to give you a taste of it. And of course Marlene Dietrich stayed there. So that's an interesting collection of three different books. My poetry of the year is the person who we lost just over a year ago, Irish poet Seamus Heaney. And his collection includes books from his translation of Beowulf, from his early work Seeing There. And I think what he does is bring the emotions of the poet straight up. He's very much a poet whose music and rhythm and sound of words make you feel that poetry gives you an insight, in his case, happenings in Ireland, happenings around the world. And it includes, indeed, one of his later works, which has not yet been published, by his dedication to his granddaughter. So those are just some of the readings for the year. And I'd finally like to finish with the NPR book reviewer Maureen Corrigan's And So We Read On. This is a study of Scott Fitzgerald, the jazz era, gangsters, flappers, music. And it's not a hagiography to Scott Fitzgerald. It's a very balanced production about a man who died believing he was a failure, but now is revered not only as a classic, but also a kind of rite of passage books. So, as I say, rainy days, great time to be reading, a good day to curl up with a book, and certainly these different books will give you insights to that great world of literature and poetry.
Well, thanks very much, Peter, for being with us for a remote session of your book reviews for the year.
Okay, good, and I hope you can drive back safely from what I can only say a foggy, rainy, and treacherous day if you're on the roads. Drive carefully.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay, bye now.
Speaking of the treacherous conditions out in San Francisco and the Bay Area, here's an interesting choral version of a weather forecast. It sort of fits in with the holiday tradition. I think you'll enjoy it.
Good morning. Here is the weather forecast for today until midnight. First, the general situation. A ridge of high pressure over the Azores is moving slowly northeast and will begin to affect southwestern districts of the British Isles by late evening. The cold front now affecting southeast districts will gradually move north. Fog has developed overnight in much of England and parts of Wales. In some districts it is rather dense. This will lift and clear by mid-morning almost everywhere, and the rest of the day will be fine with unbroken sunshine. And now, here is the shipping forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, Forties, Cromarty, fourth time, Dogger, Fisher, German Bite, Humber, Thames, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Finisterre, Sole, Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroe, Southeast Iceland,
will continue to be affected by weather for several days. Now the outlook for Wednesday and Thursday. There will be drizzle in the south, and periods of continuous rain are expected later, interspersed with scattered showers. Northern England, Northern Ireland and Southern Scotland will have occasional thunder. Temperatures will fall during the night, and there may be local showers of sleet or snow. Over central Scotland, temperatures will fall rapidly at dusk, giving rise to hail and freezing fog. Heavy snowfalls are expected in the north of Scotland, and gale force winds are likely to cause extensive drifting. In the extreme north of Scotland, a warm stream will bring torrential rain and widespread flooding.
The Master Singers. Thank you to producer Niels Swinkels for providing that group. The Master Singers were a British vocal group back in the 1960s, comprised of four schoolmasters with some comedic recordings of mundane documents and announcements, such as the weather forecast. That's kind of appropriate for this very stormy day here in the Bay Area. David LaTulipe with Open Air, a reminder that our shows are archived at our website, kalw.org. Thanks again to Neil Swinkels for assisting in producing Open Air. Suggestions for show segments can be made by sending me an email, david@kalw.org. Going out with music of the DePuy Brothers once again, their version of Sleigh Ride from their album, When It's Christmas Time.